to bring a sheet this time, keep everything straight. So appreciate everybody's time and cooperation here this weekend. Certainly a lot of work, a lot of effort from a lot of people. Long day. No sense of kind of going through the trade recap. Hopefully everybody wrote it down in pencil as we were going through the day. But we finally, in the net of all this movement, essentially, would be the third next year that we acquired from Detroit is an extra pick. And then the seventh kind of at the end was a little bit of a throw-in with the 2019 pick there from Philadelphia. So just kind of going through the actual picks. So the first two picks relative to the whole front seven sort of linebacker discussion. So DeJuan Bentley from Purdue, really this kid's got a unique story. I mean, I'm sure you guys will talk to him here at some point, but I mean, this guy's an awesome kid. Four-year starter, three-time captain, which there's not a lot of people that can say that. Pretty impressive kid. He's been through a lot on a personal level, but a good football player. Very smart, signal caller, ran a defense there at Purdue, played for a couple different coaches, a couple different staffs. Brought him in here for a visit here to Foxborough. He was awesome. He was really, really impressive. So he was somebody that we felt comfortable about and with. And then followed that up with a pick of Christian Sam. So I'd say they're a little bit different. They're both off-the-ball linebackers. Bentley's a little bit more of a Mike linebacker. Sam, probably a little bit more of a Will linebacker. His situation, real successful high school program in Texas. He actually was a defensive back. He played safety in high school, and then he got to Arizona State. He kind of was a spur, kind of called a star, walked out Will linebacker initially, and then they moved him kind of the off-the-ball linebacker, Will linebacker type. Athletic, runs really well. Played for Coach Graham, who we have a lot of respect for Todd and his program that he ran out there, good relationship there. Smart kid, ran the defense. So between the two of them, you're talking about pretty good mental capacity just in terms of handling volume, handling adjustments. So those are two players that we liked. We spent some time with, and we were fortunate that, you know, we were able to acquire them. So then we picked Braxton there with a pick there in the sixth round, whenever that was. So similar, impressive kid. This guy's really, really smart. I mean, graduated, I want to say three and a half years, whatever it was. Played inside the formation at the University of Miami. Really productive, really tough. Good traits, smart, good quickness. Was productive, had more opportunities here this season in Miami, and he made the most of them. So it took Braxton, and then we took Danny there at the top of the seventh round, Etling, who was a player that we spent some time with here as a part of the process. So here's a guy who, Purdue transfer, went down to LSU, and he, the thing about him, I would say, you know, he played for Coach Cameron, kind of a pro-style offense. Had some experience. The one thing he didn't do, he didn't turn the ball over. I mean, you look at his career production, this guy didn't turn the ball over. I think it was, 16-2 this year. I mean, low percentage, takes care of the ball, smart, pretty accurate thrower. There's some good qualities and traits that we think we can work with and develop. And he played against good people on a weekly basis, kind of like we talked about with Sony and Isaiah. So that was the pick there. And then we kind of just shuffled a few things in the round, picked Keon Cross in the corner from Western Carolina. Say where this guy kind of got on the radar screen initially was he worked out at the Wake Forest Pro Day. So that's where he showed up and tested extremely well. So lower level competition, obviously Western Carolina, showed up on a big stage just in terms of from a workout perspective. And, I mean, it really blew it out of the water. I mean, he's undersized, I mean, just from a size standpoint. But he's athletic. He runs well. He's explosive. He's real competitive. More of a perimeter corner. He played more in the perimeter at Western Carolina. So as a player, we saw him work out there at Wake Forest. Did a little more follow-up work on with him. Had him in here to Foxborough, visit with him. So he's a player. He's young. He's athletic. He runs well. Great attitude. I mean, when you guys talk to him, this guy's got a lot of energy. Real positive, really upbeat. So hopefully he brings that mentality, that mindset here to New England, you know, when he shows up here in a couple weeks. And the last pick, the last pick was Ryan Izzo, tight end from Florida State. So here's another guy, good program, pretty consistent player, three-year starter, more of an on-the-line-of-scrimmage player, very tough. I mean, Midwest, Northeastern kid, you know, from New Jersey, played in a good high school program, went down to Florida State, and they've had some good players down there. He was productive in their offense. So, I mean, he's got smart, good traits. He's a player that we liked. I mean, just in watching him, I mean, we've been watching Florida State over the court. They've had some different players at different levels, offensively and defensively. So, I mean, we've been kind of watching this guy here for, you know, the past couple of years, and just a solid, strong, consistent football player. So, you know, put him in a mix there at tight end. So that kind of wrapped up the draft class, and then we're working through the post-draft free agency, which that's always a process here. So there's some moving parts on that. Nothing really with certainty right now, but that'll come to fruition here if we get going probably by – you know, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, we'll have a little firm grasp on that. And then everybody will show up in a couple weeks here for the rookie mini camp, May 10th. So that'll be our first opportunity to get with these players and expose them to our program really more in detail and start to get into some of the more football things as it relates to our program. So a busy weekend, a lot of work, a lot of effort from a lot of people. I mean, the whole scouting department was awesome. I mean, we're blessed and fortunate to have that group work in concert with the coach and myself. So, you know, tip of the hat to them. We couldn't do it without them. I mean, there's a lot of people that are part of this process. And, I mean, this is not a one-man show. This is a team effort, which is kind of embodies what this program is about. You know, it's about putting a team first, doing your job. And, you know, the team is more important than any individual, which is that's our mentality. That's our mindset. And that was pretty evident here this weekend with how the group operated. So we'll pick the pieces up here today with what's left. There'll probably be a lot of players. Look, there's going to be some player that we're not even talking about that's not even here. Like in Malcolm's case, it's just kind of showed up and no commitment, no nothing. He goes through a rookie mini camp tryout and then he signs and then, the rest is kind of history. So, look, there's going to be somebody like that. We're not even talking about that player right now, but there's going to be some of those people that here show up here in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, we'll continue to turn over every stone like we talked about yesterday, trying to create as much competition as we possibly can on the team. Team building is a fluid process, so there's a lot of moving parts, and we're going to continue to do what we feel is best for our football team and just try to put the best team together for the 2018 season. So that's a kind of a long, quick summation, but we'll take some questions here moving forward.
When it comes to the draft, kind of understanding that every year is different and every set of circumstances is different, how much do you take into account what you guys want to accomplish this year and maybe what you guys are looking to accomplish next year and beyond? I'm talking specifically about, you know, trading into 2019 or appearing to, you know, get extra picks for 2019. How much of that figures into your thinking when it comes to a day like today?
Great question, Chris. I'd say it's pretty organic because you really don't go into it thinking, well, let's see, like, let's get a try to get a second round pick, let's get a third round pick. So a lot of it, when you get into the trade market or the trade situation, it's so player driven. So a player has player A. They're really interested, and they want the player. And they say, hey, look, this is what we're willing to do. And then we have to think about it and say, okay, what are the merits of that? Okay, relative to what our options might be. So think about that. And if we think it makes sense, then we'll go ahead and do it. I mean, there's other opportunities. Even if a team offers a pick for next year, you might say, you know what, it doesn't really make a lot of sense right now. Let's just kind of focus on picks. So you don't go into it and say, well, we're going to try to build this stockpile of, I mean, this is kind of the tale of a couple of years. So we go from having, like, basically no picks. Like, last year, would we pick four players or whatever it was? This year, we picked 10, and 9, 10, whatever it was. And then we have some other assets that we've accumulated here that we have X amount of picks for next year. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, there's a list of that, look what we actually have. So it's very organic. So we just try to take it as it comes and just weigh the merits of, okay, picking the player, and is this something that we think makes sense in terms of, like I said, the team building is an ongoing process. So there's no template, there's no book that tells you we'll do this and this is what's going to happen. Like, you know, we just try to be prepared, try to take all the information that we have and try to make the best decision for the organization possible.
Where did this draft rank up in terms of overall talent you saw? You know, because you traded out of the middle rounds a lot. And what was the thinking about the talent level in this draft in particular?
Yeah, look, there's good football players littered throughout this draft. There's players that were picked early, there are players that are picked in the middle, there's players that were picked late that are going to have an impact on their respective teams. So who those players are, I'm not necessarily sure. What we try to do is assign the value to the player. We have a pretty, you know, intricate grading system that we use. So assign the value and then look at it relative to where you have to pick, what are your other options going to be. So it's not necessarily about, like, how good is the draft, how good is the talent. Is like, well, here's the pool of players that we're talking about, and you always have to be prepared to pick regardless of what the situation might be. So you might be sitting up there going, boy, yeah, we like this player, but maybe we'd rather get him a little bit later on. But if you don't have the opportunity, then you just have to go ahead and pick the player. So in the end, you have to be comfortable with the player that you're bringing onto your football team. And you might have here's how we see this player, and that might be better, might be worse when they get here. So there's no, like, how do they rank? I mean, there's always good players that are going to be filtered throughout the draft, and there's going to be players that are signed after the draft, not that they have a big impact on your team. we've had a lot of those players through the years, the David Andrews, the Brandon Boldens, going back to Dane Fletcher. I mean, those guys, like, some had smaller roles, some had a little bit bigger roles. So Chris Hogan wasn't drafted. I mean, I know we didn't get him until a few later, you know, years later on down the road. So, I mean, there's good players everywhere. You just try to – some players – we've talked about this before in some of the pre-draft press conference. Some players have a little more depth than others. One year it's this group. Okay, another year it's this group. But you just try to sort through it and just try to pick the players that fit your team, your program, as best as possible, and just make a good decision. Now make the right decision and then just move forward.
Nick, you were talking about Crossan and, like, how he popped, you know, like, and showed up. Was there a similar moment with Etling, the quarterback, that where he sort of showed up to you and said, well, we got to take a closer look here?
Good question, Mike. He was a guy, actually, even going back to last spring, because, you know, part of our spring scouting, so right now we just finished this draft, so our scouts have already completed a lot of work on the 2019 draft. We kind of have our initial spring reports, okay, and he was a player when we worked on LSU in the spring. They had a couple offensive linemen. They had a couple receivers. Shark, who got drafted by Jacksonville, he was one of the players. Gage got drafted a little bit later. So they had some players that, you know, were playing that position. We were evaluating them. Danny was a quarterback. So you're watching those players, like we talked about. I think we had a question about, like, Oklahoma. Okay, do you look at a player who you think is going to go in the top wherever? Well, we're doing everybody. So as we're going through, essentially in the spring, what we try to do is when we're watching a team, okay, LSU and Auburn, okay, here are their senior prospects for the following year. Okay, and we're watching LSU's offense, we're watching Auburn's defense. So, I mean, we're watching everybody. You're not necessarily just focusing on one particular player. So we did some work on him in the spring, just as part of our spring process, and then we went through the fall. We did some work, and then we just kind of continued to work through the process here a little bit. He went to the Tropic Bowl, which is kind of an off-the-radar sort of all-star game, but he had an exposure there, wasn't invited to the combine. He had a pretty extensive pro day. I mean, I think he threw, like, I don't know, 150 balls, honest to God, at his pro day. So he threw a lot of balls. It was a pretty extensive workout. They had Shark, they had Geis, they had Gage. There might have been a few other players in there. So, I mean, like I said, it's just accumulation of everything over the course of, you know, X number of years. So he started a couple years in the SEC. So he played as a junior. Okay, he started as a senior. All right, and then you just kind of work through the process. So.
Is that right? Does that sound right to you, the two picks, or is that something?
What's that?
One of his picks was a Hail Mary. Is that right? Or I don't remember it off the
top. That's a good question, Mike. Off the top of my head, sorry. I can't recall.
You mentioned the uncertainty, you know, with every draft class. With all the players coming in, you know, you make the picks and you don't really know how each particular player is going to pan out. Obviously, this one is pretty fresh in your head because it just happened. But when is a time when you can actually sit back and evaluate how a draft went?
Great question. The way when we draft players or when we kind of grade players, we talked about this the other night, they're all developmental players. So a lot of our thinking is we kind of look at them by their second year. Once they go through a full cycle of our program, of everything, what do we think we have by that time? So when they walk in the door, they may not be what the grade says. It may be more reflective of what we think the player is going to be by his second season. So I would say you start to have, I'd say, a better idea, at least by the end of his first year, once he goes through rookie camp, OTAs, sprint training camp, preseason games, regular season, practices, games, et cetera, and then kind of an off-season program, full off-season. Some make a little more progress than others, maybe some a little bit more time, but it's so fresh. But you can't really evaluate. I mean, one of the things that'll happen, which, you know, everybody does it, like everybody's going to assign a grade. Like, okay, this grade, this draft got a B, this draft got an F. I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, what are you basing that off of? So we kind of look at it a little bit differently and say, like, we're going to get the player here. Okay, let's start them in our program, in our process, and then evaluate them once they kind of get, once we have a little more information, and then try, and then we can make an educated decision. Okay, well, here's what we think it is, or look, this guy needs to improve this. If he does this, maybe he can be a little bit more. So it's so fretting. Like, now is not the time to say, well, we think, you know, look, none of us really know how this is going to go. It goes back to some of the same things. Trust your evaluations. Hopefully you find good players with good traits for our program, and then once they get here, are they going to work hard? Are they going to improve? Are they going to take the coaching? And is their performance going to be commensurate with that progress? And then if they, you know, make some progress, I mean, not to use like a guy like Julian as an example. You know, here's a guy, seventh round pick. I mean, when we drafted him, like, I mean, for us to sit here and say, yeah, we knew what we had, I mean, it's kind of imbecilic. I mean, I don't think that, like, none of us can say that. But you're going off the athletic skills, you're going off the traits, and then Julian showed at minicamp, okay, showed up, you know, showed up to continue rookie minicamp. Okay, and it took him a couple years, and, you know, now Julian's been one of our, you know, best, most consistent, most productive players over the course of his time here. So it's a long process. It takes a bunch of time. You know, we don't have infinite amount of time, and, you know, you just want to see players make progress and move in the right direction. So the time to do that is a little bit further on down the road once you have a little more information to make an assessment.
I think that a lot of people expected you guys to take a quarterback a little bit earlier in the class. What was just the thought process of waiting until the seventh round to take a quarterback?
Yeah, we knew we were going to add a quarterback to our team at some point. So it's relative to what other options we might have, relative to other positions. And, you know, there's no, like, template, well, we're going to take one here, we're going to take one there. So you just evaluate the player. And, look, we think Danny has some decent traits and some decent qualities to work with. So, you know, we'll put him in our program and see how he does.
Nick, two of the things.
Go ahead, Bob.
Two of the things Danny talked about in his conference call with us was the adaptability he had to grasp different offenses, four different coordinators in two different programs. And then beyond that, the work that he did this spring on his mechanics. How much weight does it carry in quarterback in particular when he can grasp and adjust to different systems, in particular well, like Cam Cameron's? And then also, did you notice mechanically improving? What does that mean to you?
That's a good question, Bob. I mean, one of the things you look for, too, with some of these players is how they handle transition, you know, because in that particular case, multiple coaches, multiple coordinators, multiple offenses. So how do they handle that? You know, are they adaptable? Can they adjust? Look, this game is about being adaptable, being versatile. And, you know, 1 week the game plan might be this, and next week the game plan might be something different. So how quickly can you handle that? Can you process that? Can you understand that? Can you apply it and take that information? So there were some examples and some evidence of him doing that, and that's something that Danny worked on. I mean, to his credit, mechanics, especially a quarterback, like, your mechanics are something you continually to – I mean, Tom works on his mechanics as much as anybody, and he's been playing quarterback for, I mean, 18 years, I mean, longer than that. But so he made – even you notice from his play at LSU here during the season and then kind of through the spring and even hit his pro day, you know, you saw some subtle adjustments or subtle things that he did to help improve his mechanics. And obviously that's kind of through whatever coach he was working with. So now we kind of have to throw that out the window, and, you know, we have a baseline that we're starting with him. So when he gets here, Josh and Jerry will spend time with him and work on, identify the areas. Okay, here are the things that, you know, A, B, and C. Okay, here are the things you're going to focus on initially. Okay, deal with that. And then once we have that sort of improved or a comfort level, then we can move on to the next thing. So, but the ability, a quarterback, our system is a pretty complex system. I mean, it's no mystery. Okay, there's a lot that we put on the players. There's a lot that we put on the quarterback. So smart, adaptable, handle transitions, handle adjustments, do it quickly, and be able to process and move to the next thing. I mean, those are things that are important, that are required of that position, especially here in our offense.
Nick, going back to the Sony Michel pick, you guys were top five in spending at running back last year, and you used a first-round pick on the back this year. Why has that become a position that you devote significant resources to?
It's not a matter of resource allocation. It's a matter of just, like we talked about when we picked Sony, it's about just good football players. So, you know, we've had running backs come in all different shapes and sizes, and we've gotten production from you know, Shane Vereen to Danny Woodhead to Antoine Smith to Corey Dillon to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. So, I mean, you know, we just try to pick good football players and have the good skills that are required of that position. You know, there's a lot that goes into playing a running back position. The biggest adjustment at running backs, especially from college to pro, is just the variables and the multiples. I mean, some of these guys, like, they don't even, like, know what pass – I mean, pass protection is like a mystery. Or it's like, block this guy, but you also have to block that guy over there. Well, how does that – like, it's not even, like, humanly possible. Do this, do that, look there. Okay, if he doesn't come, go over here. I mean, we're not doing that, okay? So, I mean, that's a whole separate set of issues. So, I mean, a running back position, I mean, it's like any other position. I mean, our team's going to be different year to year. I mean, it always is, and that position is going to be different. So the league is different as well. So there's, you know, how we play. We don't play the same each week. So we're just trying to find players that can fit maybe how we play, you know, offensively. So take one more.
I saw on Patriots.com that Josh McDaniels was in the war room, at least for day one. Is that new for him to be in there? And what was it like working with him in the pre-draft process? I know you guys
go way back?
Yeah, no, Josh has been in here before, so even going way back to in the 2000s when he and I were in there together when we really didn't know anything. We still don't know anything, but you know, we have a little more experience. So, I mean, look, Josh is a great friend of mine. There's no question about it, and he's great to work with. Our entire coaching staff is very involved in our process. We have a lot of confidence and faith in their information, their input, their evaluation. So, you know, it's not anything. It's, you know, Josh has been in here before, and you know, our coaches, their opinions on our entire staff are very valid. They're an intricate part of this process, and we rely on them for, you know, a lot of information. And Josh included. I mean, he's one of them. So, all right, have a good weekend, everybody. Thanks for your time again.